Hey there, and welcome to a deep dive into something pretty amazing, using data to like predict and prevent accidents like before they even happen, you know?
Yeah, we're talking about going beyond the old ways of doing safety and really using data to make a difference.
Exactly. And our guide for this is predictive safety analytics, reducing risk through modeling and machine learning. And I gotta say, one thing that struck me right away is this book, it's all about being practical. It's about using data companies already have, you know, no need for like some secret data vault or something.
It's about making this something any company can do, big or small. And it tackles a real problem a lot of companies face. They even call it the plateau problem.
The plateau problem.
Yeah.
Okay. I like it. Let's dig into that. So workplace safety overall, it's gotten better.
Oh, absolutely. We've made huge progress.
Yeah.
But a lot of organizations, they've kind of stalled out. They hit this plateau where the old ways just aren't cutting it anymore.
Like they've squeezed all the easy improvements out.
Exactly. That's where this book, Predictive Safety Analytics, comes in. It says to bust through that plateau, you got to change how you think. Go from reacting to predicting. And that's where data gets really cool.
It's like having a crystal ball, but instead of vague predictions, we've got like hard numbers to back it up.
Exactly. The book has this great example of a railroad company stuck on that plateau, doing okay safety-wise, but not great.
Mm-hmm.
Then they really dove into their data, especially the risks their train operators face during their shifts.
So they got really specific looking at individual employees and their tasks.
Yeah. By analyzing things like recent shifts, worked task experience, even the time of day, they found patterns and could predict potential risks.
Okay.
The result, a 28% drop in incidents.
28%.
Whoa.
It's huge. And it's not like a one-time thing. They became industry leaders in safety.
Yeah.
Imagine the impact this could have on industries that are already risky.
Absolutely. And it shows a key point from this book, turning data into action. It's not enough to just collect data. You got to ask the right questions and use the answers to make smart decisions.
Okay, so how does the book recommend approaching this in a structured way?
Well, they have this framework called the 4 P's of safety, which I find really useful. People, places, processes, and of course, predictive analytics.
Okay, I'm all about a good framework. It's like having a mental toolbox.
Hmm.
So let's break down these P's. First up, people.
Okay, so people, that's all about understanding the human side of safety, figuring out who might be at higher risk and why. Are they tired? Are they working in a new place? Do they have the right training?
So it's not just about their job title, but like them as a person in that role.
Exactly. For example, the book talks about those employee shift risk dashboards we mentioned earlier. Imagine a manager with a dashboard showing data for each employee, recent overtime types of tasks, even things like recent sleep data from a wearable if the employee's okay with it.
Okay, now that is getting specific.
It is. And that detail can be so helpful for those everyday decisions. But even without that level of employee data, the ideas behind the people P can be used more broadly across a whole company.
So whether it's individual employees or whole departments, it's about understanding those human factors that impact safety. What about the next P, places?
Right. So places is focused on the environment where work happens. It's about understanding what makes a location risky, things like the layout of a facility, weather, even the time of day.
So a construction site in broad daylight versus that same site at like 3:00 a.m., two very different risk profiles, even though it's the same location.
Exactly. And think about all the data that could factor in lighting conditions, noise levels, proximity to hazards. Mm-hmm. By analyzing this data, we can find high-risk locations and, more importantly, understand why they're risky.
Okay, places. That totally makes sense. You've really painted a picture there. Moving from the where to the how, what about that next P? Processes.
Right. Processes is all about analyzing the systems and procedures we have in place to make sure things are safe. Are they really working as well as we think? What can we do better?
Yeah, it's like taking a hard look in the mirror and saying, okay, we had good intentions, but how's this stuff actually working out there in the real world?
Exactly. And data can be really eye-opening here. The book gives this cool example of a utility company that used this approach to look at the risks of different field activities. So let's say you're replacing an insulator on a power pole. Sounds pretty routine, right?
Yeah, not exactly like high stakes on the surface.
Right, but what if it's pouring rain, the pole's on a steep hillside, and you need a crane to do the job? Suddenly, those risks, they multiply. This company built a model that looked at all those things and gave each work order a risk score.
So it's like each job gets a custom risk assessment based on what's happening right then.
Exactly. That lets supervisors make smarter decisions. Maybe they delay the task, assign a different crew, or bring in extra safety precautions. The data helps them be proactive.
Okay, see, now that's what I'm talking about. This is where it gets real. But all these examples, while really cool, have been very operational focus on the day-to-day, how do we zoom out and use analytics to understand the bigger picture, those underlying causes of risk across a whole organization?
That's where strategic safety analytics comes in. It's about using data to answer those big questions, like figuring out how much different risk factors matter, measuring how effective safety programs really are, and spotting trends that might not be obvious at first glance.
Give me an example of how this quantifying risk factors thing works.
Okay, let's say a company wants to reduce slip and fall incidents. They might have some ideas about what's causing them, like worn out floor mats, the wrong footwear, even the time of day. With strategic safety analytics, you don't have to guess. You get the data on those factors, when and where incidents happen, what the conditions were like, and you can actually test those ideas.
It's like taking all those theories that safety professionals have had for years and putting them through a real data-driven experiment.
Exactly. And sometimes the data surprises you. Maybe you find out that bad lighting is a bigger problem than you thought, or maybe a certain cleaning product makes the floors slippery. The data can challenge your assumptions and uncover hidden risks.
Now, what about actually measuring if safety programs are working? Is there a way to do that besides just looking at how many incidents there are?
Absolutely. This is where it gets really interesting. The book compares it to clinical drug trials.
Okay, I'm listening.
So imagine you're testing a new drug. You want to know if it really works, but you also have to think about other things that could affect the outcome, right? Like someone's age, lifestyle, overall health, all that plays a role.
Right. You want to isolate the effect of the drug itself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, we can do the same thing with safety programs. Let's say you start a new training program to reduce a certain type of incident. You could just compare incident rates before and after the training, but that might not tell the whole story. What if other things change too? Maybe you also got new safety equipment or changed some work procedures.
So how do you isolate the impact of just the training program?
By using a statistical model, you can control for those other variables, the new equipment, the procedure changes, and see just the impact of the training. That lets you say with confidence, this training program reduced incidents by X percent.
Wow, that's really powerful. You're not just guessing, you have the data to back it up.
Exactly. And that level of certainty is so important when you're deciding where to put your resources, what programs to expand, and how to keep improving your safety culture.
This is like seriously eye-opening stuff. I'm ready to like put on a lab coat and start crunching numbers.
Yeah.
But I bet some people listening are feeling a little overwhelmed right now. Like, where do you even start with all this?
Yeah, I get that. But the cool thing is you don't need to become a data expert overnight. You can start small and build up.
So no need to like throw out your whole safety program.
Nope, not at all. A good first step is just looking at what data you already have. What info are you collecting? How are you storing it? Is it easy to get to?
Sure.
That's your starting point.
Like taking inventory of your data.
Exactly. And that often shows you some easy wins, places you can start using analytics right away, even with just a little bit of data. Like a lot of organizations have incident reports going back years. They're full of useful info just waiting to be unlocked.
Which brings us to text mining, which I gotta say totally blows my mind. It's like teaching a computer to read between the lines of those reports and find those hidden insights.
It's powerful stuff. Think about it. Those reports, they tell a story, what happened, what contributed to it, what witnesses saw. Text mining lets you analyze all those words and find patterns you'd never see just reading through them.
So instead of a safety manager spending weeks going through hundreds of reports,
you
have an algorithm doing the work in like a fraction of the time.
Exactly. And it's not just speed. It's about finding those connections that aren't obvious. The book talks about a railroad company that used text mining to analyze derailment reports. They found out that a certain type of switch combined with a specific type of wheel wear made derailments way more likely. They never saw that connection before, but text mining showed it to them.
Talk about a light bulb moment.
And that kind of discovery could stop those incidents from happening again. It's amazing. But let's switch gears for a sec. You said earlier that predictive safety analytics isn't just about technology. It's about people and culture. What do you mean by that? Well, technology is a tool, right? And like any tool, how well it works depends on how you use it. You can have the best analytic system in the world, but if your employees don't trust it, if they think it's there to punish them instead of help them, it's not going to work.
It's about bringing people along, not forcing it on them.
Exactly. And the book highlights a great example of this Southern California Edison, or SCE. They've been really open about their experience with predictive safety analytics, and they've gotten some awesome results.
What do they do differently?
From the start, they focused on being transparent and communicating. They involved employees every step of the way, explaining the goals, listening to concerns, getting feedback. They made it clear that the system was there to support workers, not to get them in trouble.
So it became a team effort. not something forced on them.
Exactly. They also made sure to include key people from different departments, HR, legal, IT. Everyone had to be on board working towards the same goal of improving safety.
That just makes sense. Mm-hmm. You're not just implementing technology, you're creating a whole culture of safety that uses data.
And that's how you make real change. SCE's success shows what can happen when you combine cool technology with putting people first.
It's really inspiring to see it actually working. So as we wrap up our deep dive into predictive safety analytics, I'm feeling really optimistic. It feels like we're on the edge of a whole new way of thinking about workplace safety.
I agree. And we've covered a ton today, from that plateau problem to the power of text mining. But the biggest takeaway for me is this data can change safety from something reactive to something proactive.
It's about shifting from what happened to how do we stop it from happening in the first place.
Exactly. And with the tools and knowledge we have now, that future is closer than ever.
It's a really exciting time to be in the safety field. Thanks for joining us on this awesome deep dive. Until next time, stay curious and stay safe.